Hey, Internet, welcome to yet another edition of Locked On NHL, our Wednesday special. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings, and I am joined by my regular partner in crime here, Tom Gazzola, who's going to help us break down maybe some, you know, bad omens, some more bad omens for the NHL. First up, January 1 as a start date for the NHL. Is that still realistic? That's a month away.
I want to say yes, Sarah. I really do. I would love to be talking about the start of the regular season on January 1st, because that would mean in 2 weeks, you and I would be talking about training camp going on, and we would be talking about exhibition games in 3 weeks. And then my show on TSN 1260, the Oilers pre- and post-game show, would be back at the turn of the calendar, and daddy makes some money when the Oilers are playing. So all those wonderful things I think would be lovely to be talking about, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And if it were to happen, this whole situation with the PA and the league and all these players and the owners would have to figure things out in a heartbeat. And I mean, within the next week. The one thing that's good is that there's dialogue again. And we heard there was a window last week. There was no dialogue between Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman. That's never good. And, you know, when they're not talking, that's a bad omen. But they are talking, and the players are discussing things, and the return to play committee is, you know, working on things, and they're bouncing ideas off of one another yet again. So to me, that's a good sign. Now, I know they keep talking about January 1, but I don't know. I hope it somehow miraculously happens. But at this point, Sarah, I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, it's cutting it really close. And like, that's coming from a person who is really bad with deadlines and usually does have to cut it close. But I also don't have to get, you know, hundreds of people back into the United States or Canada to be able to do their jobs. So I feel like, you know, it's getting more and more unrealistic, although it is a positive sign that there are more indications that conversations are back on track. Agent Alan Walsh, who is never afraid of airing his feelings on social media, whether or not you think that's a good idea. Yeah, exactly. He tweeted on Tuesday, despite what some people with the league may be saying, the idea of the NHL playing regular season games by January 1st is not viable at this point, which, you know, usually I feel like he, you know, is a little hyperbolic in what he's saying. You know, he kicks up some dust and makes some noise, you know, sometimes just to make some noise or to whatever his motives are. But this one, I think, I do think that he's actually pretty right on that, that it short of a miracle or everyone getting on a conference call tomorrow and being like in 100% agreement about how things are going to work, I think that it's going to be really hard to start games that soon and still get a training camp in, still have time for guys to go through whatever quarantines they need to get through. There's a lot of guys who haven't come back to the U.S. yet, just based on the number of hockey players I follow on social media. There's a bunch who are still over in Europe, and getting them over here to be ready to start for training camps that could be happening in, you know, a week, 2 weeks or so, doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
The one thing that you're right, first of all, I'll say that. That's the likeliness is dwindling. So I'll reinforce your comment on that. But the one interesting thing with, I know Canada's been really stringent with its 14-day quarantine, but one thing that might surprise some people and that has kind of flown under the radar is at the Calgary airport and at the Toronto airport, they currently are running a pilot project where you get a rapid test if you're coming in from out of country, and you spend 2 days in quarantine after if you test negative for the rapid test. And then part of this plan is after 2 days of quarantine, you can, you know, go wherever. But within a week, you have to get another follow-up COVID test just at a local pharmacy or drugstore or anything like that. And that has to come back negative. So it's kind of like this little hidden secret that's going on in Canada. Again, it's just a pilot project, but that might be a saving grace for all the players that have to come back from out of country and want to avoid a 14-day quarantine, which sucks. Everyone I've spoken to that's gone through the 14-day quarantine has just hated it. So, yeah, there's just one that one little incentive tidbit that's kind of there right now, but we'll see what happens. That's just out there.
Yeah, and getting into the U.S. at least in this case is significantly easier for anyone having to come back to their teams here. You know, some individual locations are doing kind of things with, you know, voluntary quarantines, but for the most part, there's not quite the same system. And so there's a little less concern about, you know, someone having to come back to St. Louis or Colorado or whatever, and having to sit in a hotel room by himself for 2 weeks, just because we have not decided to do that as a country. But, you know, getting those guys back here will take some time, but it can happen. They at least all have the ability to arrange a flight with no notice, unlike the rest of us normal people. So that at least will be good. We're also seeing in some of the junior leagues and some of the leagues over in Europe, they're having longer shutdowns now. Either, you know, they're extending their Christmas breaks. The Quebec Major Junior League is basically shutting down until early January. We're hearing some rumblings about the WHL looking to push their start date out a little further. There are so many unanswered questions about, you know, where are prospects going to go? Where are guys who are kind of on that cusp of could make the team or could be sent back? Like, the more that all of these other leagues get pushed out to a February start date or late January, makes it seem even more inevitable that the NHL is going to go that way as well, because there's no feeder leagues at the moment. There is no prospect pool of guys ready and waiting to jump up and join your team if needed. Everything is just basically chaos, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the COVID situation, listen, we've heard about the COVID situation and how things have gone in the U.S., but up here in Canada, it's not going very well either. And when Alberta was a shining example of how to shut down and play it safe and all of that, when we heard the NHL was coming here for return to play, well, let's turn that on its head, Sarah, because Alberta is the COVID capital of Canada right now. It is not good. And so the WHL, you're right, that January start date, not looking so good. You're right about Quebec. You mentioned the hiccups it's had in the QMJHL, Ontario, the battle that continues there, the stupidity of taking out physical contact, like the provincial government wants to impose. And then we'll bring it back to Alberta here with the World Juniors. And speaking of feeder leagues and systems and platforms and showcases for up-and-coming talent, well, Team Canada is currently under quarantine still. And the last I heard is, you know, I heard some rumblings that the bubble or whatever Hockey Canada was implementing in Red Deer as of, you know, a week ago, it was a pretty loose bubble. And there were some situations that, you know, had arisen where it was like, oh yeah, that's hazardous and might cost them, and all of a sudden here we are with the entire Hockey Canada squad in a quarantine right now. So it sounds like when everything gets settled in Red Deer, Hockey Canada is just going to shuffle everything up to Edmonton and bring it into the Edmonton bubble, a la what we saw from the NHL's return to play. But hopefully lessons were learned and they tighten things up, and no more hiccups, and maybe we do get some top level junior hockey at the end of this month.
Gonna cross our fingers for that, because I think that, you know, it would really stink to take that opportunity away from all these kids who are hoping to represent their country, hoping to win a medal, who are just hoping to play hockey again, because right now they don't really have many other options. So it's in everyone's best interest to get it figured out, and hopefully they can do that. We've got more coming up about our speculation on what exactly is going to happen next season and when we're going to get a next season. But first, let's talk about Built Bar, because Built Bar, if you don't know, it's back and it is better than ever before. It tastes delicious. It comes in even more amazing flavors than before. And you can get it right now at BuiltBar.com. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it is the best tasting protein bar out there. It basically tastes like you're eating candy. So if you're someone like me who is just super not into the idea of eating healthy because you are, you know, like that, you can have a Built Bar and it's actually good for you. It comes in 18 great flavors plus some special bonus varieties that happen to pop up around the holidays. Can't say if they're still available or not, but if you do your best and hurry to BuiltBar.com, you might be able to snag some of the special limited edition winter flavors. You can also get things like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, peanut butter, banana bread, and many more. Built Bar is great whether you're someone who is health conscious or you're someone who just wants a quick, delicious treat to keep your energy up. They are low in calories, low in sugar, high protein, high fiber, and, you know, just all around pretty darn great. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We're going to get back to the discussion right now. I want to make sure, though, that you are tuning into this show tomorrow as Adam and Chris discuss the whole situation with returning to play, plus giving out some early awards for next season. That is all coming up tomorrow on Locked On NHL. You know, as we're looking at leagues that are increasing their timeline for when they're going to start playing again, or, you know, canceling things outright, right now, the only pro hockey in the U.S. that has a concrete return date, at least the only pro men's hockey, I know that the NWHL has plans for kind of a shortened bubble tournament kind of thing coming mm-hmm. up for their next season. But in terms of men's hockey, the ECHL is sort of it. And many teams have started practice. You know, we've already seen a bunch of ECHL teams have to drop out of playing next season. We have a bunch of guys who just, you know, don't have contracts, either NHL guys looking for another deal or AHL guys or whatever, plus all of these guys from their teams who have shut down who are now free agents. This could be a really interesting year for minor hockey in the U.S., especially the ECHL being the only ones who are playing. I'm going to be really curious to see if we see more guys who are free agents or who are sort of in the prospect group or the not quite ready for the NHL group of players take jobs in the ECHL. Or we're also seeing players now starting to make moves into leagues in Europe that are maybe not the traditional leagues that we're used to seeing guys go to, outside of the, you know, the KHL in Sweden, Finland, even to some extent, the German league is getting more to be a place that people go, Switzerland. But we saw the other day, Calvin Pickard, who is the AHL backup-y, you know, third string kind of goalie for Colorado, he was loaned to a team in Austria. And I'm going to be really curious to see if we start seeing guys go to Europe, either through contracts or through loans, and they go to leagues that we don't usually, even in a lockout, see players head to just to get some ice time somewhere.
Yeah, and I think to a certain extent, we've started to see that a little bit already. I know the Oilers have, I think it was at last count, 14 or 15 prospects, basically most of their guys from Bakersfield and up and coming players that, you know, finished the last year of junior eligibility, they're all scattered throughout Europe. And even some guys that played games last year for the Oilers, like Tyler Benson, he's playing over in Europe right now. Evan Bouchard is playing in the Swedish second division. William Lagesson just got transferred from one team to another because of a rule change in how many transfer players or loan players you could have on your squad or some kind of stipulation like that. So Ken Holland has been very active in doing that. And I think that keeps at least some of your guys going. And you're right, Sarah. I think, you see Pickard going over there. I think we're going to see more and more of this if there's no sign that the NHL is going to get going anytime relatively soon. And if that target date of, you know, January 1 is far-fetched, but if mid-January is a thing, if guys just want to play for a month or for the next few weeks, if they sign a quick contract and then with that out clause, they get out. Like we've seen, Joe Thornton's been with HC Davos for the last month and a half. So if guys want to stay in game shape, no better way to do it than to play in a European professional league that's going right now. But the other thing too is some of these leagues, they have to step back and are delaying and putting off games because of COVID. I know the Finnish league is dealing with that right now. So it's so all over the map. And the COVID is, you know, we thought it threw a wrench into things earlier this year. My goodness. It's messing up hockey big time on both sides of the pond.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, like just how developmentally this is going to be just a useless year for a lot of guys. Yeah. And I think that anything that happens this next season kind of needs to be taken a little bit with a grain of salt, because no one is going to be performing at, you know, their optimal performance level just because of how uncertain everything has been, how training camps are probably not going to be, you know, the same, you know, fulsome experience maybe as we're used to seeing. I think that a lot of teams are going to have to sort of reimagine how they evaluate their players, because you're not really going to get a true sense of how a lot of these guys are performing in the NHL, really, if they're doing weird stuff like a 2-week bubble where you play, you know, 7 games or something like that. There's no ideal situation for this to really have any confidence outside of, you know, looking at the young, you know, superstars who are incoming. Like, I don't think anyone's going to look at Lafreniere and be like, oh, he's garbage because, you know, his first year under COVID life was bad, you know. Yeah. But a lot of guys, it's going to be kind of an extra year really to evaluate what they've got, because this year's just going to be just real weird.
We've got more coming up, including a fun little note about the Seattle Kraken coming up next on Locked On NHL.
Yeah, and you're right. Growth will be stunted for prospects. Growth will be stunted for bubble players. Growth will be stunted for our up-and-coming players, you know, trying to hit the prime of their career. Everybody basically is going to be delayed in their growth and progression, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's just, it's a pandemic, and here we are. This is the result. It sucks. It's weird. It's strange, but I guess at the end of the day, Sarah, in general, everybody is stuck in the same situation. Yes, there's some players that are playing and getting some sort of development or some sort of progression, but it's nowhere near the same capacity, obviously, as a traditional season. So in a sense, everyone's kind of on the same playing field to a certain degree, where, you know, you can't throw the asterisk and be like, well, you know, that team, they had 8 players play for 2 months, and, you know, that team in their county, they couldn't skate, like the San Jose Sharks right now can't skate in Santa Clara. And the 49ers are moving to Arizona for a few weeks at least. So it's just everyone's on the same page, and it's a crappy situation.
Yeah, no one has it easy. There was an interesting, there's been, I think, probably a few interesting articles in The Athletic that have been talking about some of these players going over to Europe and all the different hoops they had to jump through and their agents had to jump through and their teams to find landing spots for them. I know the Kings sent a whole bunch of guys to Eisbären Berlin, which is owned by the same group that owns the Kings. So they had a little bit of an in there to send a whole bunch
How
of
convenient.
Guys there, right?
Yeah.
Very convenient. And, you know, it's been good for them to get, you know, experience at the pro level. I think right now the German league is still just doing exhibition games. I think their start of their season has kept getting pushed too. So they still have a couple guys over there. They've been sort of slowly trickling back to the United States. One of their goalies is headed to the ECHL for training camp. But it's been, especially for these young players who are in that kind of in-between world of not going back to juniors, but you know they're not ready for the NHL yet. Akil Thomas in particular kind of talked about how this was sort of eye-opening for him of what's going to be expected from them in to play in a pro league, to play against men. So at least for those young guys getting sent over there, like, they're getting the chance to see, you know, what it's like to train as a professional, what it's like to play against people who are older than you and bigger than you and more experienced than you. And many of them have landed on teams with guys who have played in the NHL before. So, you know, they can also get that sort of perspective from some of their teammates over their temporary teammates, I guess, over in Europe. Or I guess in Joe Thornton's case, he can give advice to all the young guys on Davos about being a hockey player. He incidentally is playing at a point per game clip. at the age of, you know, what is it, like 40, 41, he has 8 points in 7 games over at Davos. So
just the casual 8 points in 7 games. That classic Joe Thornton.
Yeah. And I think he's playing on their like bottom six. I don't even think he's a top line guy. He's just, you know, just hanging out, scoring sounds some like, points.
Yeah. It sounds like he's just out there for a casual twirl.
Yeah. Yeah. No big deal. Just a thing he can do.
Exactly. That's the magic of being the number one overall pick from 1997, Sarah.
Oh, the guys getting drafted now weren't even born then.
No.
Every time I think about it, I'm just like, I hate this.
I'm right there with you.
Well, we have got just a lot of moving parts, a lot of places guys can go to get some reps, whether it's going to be people signing in the ECHL temporarily or heading over to a league in Europe that maybe none of us have heard of before. There's going to be a lot of movement. I figured today we would end on, as we've been trying to do, because we're talking about stuff that is not exactly a lot of fun because it's all the fact that we don't have hockey back yet. I figured we'd talk about something a little funny. Because recently, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary company, obviously, always posts at the end of the year their most popular words that have been looked up in the dictionary. And this year, the word Kraken was the fifth most searched word, and they even gave a shout out to the newest NHL franchise when they were announcing this. And so I at least am very excited to see that people are pretty pumped about the Seattle Kraken, even though we don't have a coach or a roster or anything. We've just got some pretty rad jerseys and stuff. There's a lot of excitement about this team, and I'm excited for the near future when we can start doing things like talking about the expansion draft and getting ready for a new team to join the division that's going to, you know, wreck things for everybody probably, because that just appears to be what happens now when expansion teams join the league.
I love that this was the fifth most searched word. And first of all, it's a cool word when you say Kraken. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. Secondly, it's an alcohol, which is, you know, part of the fun. And then, you know, you get the term release the Kraken. I think it's hilarious. And then it's this mythical sea monster. And then the Seattle franchise did a marvelous job with the logo and the color scheme and the uniforms. I really think they knocked it out of the park. It is a beautiful setup. They're doing a great job. This week on Tuesday, we saw that the new arena, or the rebuilt arena in Seattle's downtown core, got its signage, the Climate Pledge Arena. The signs were delivered and are going to be put on the outside of the building. It's cool. Like, this is something fresh and exciting. And I think, you know, too, speaking of, you know, messing up the division, like the Vegas Golden Knights have done, they've been excellent disruptors, and it's been an absolute pleasure and joy to watch them. It's been highly entertaining, and I like their attitude, and I like how people were turning on them during return to play. And I like the 3 years that they've been a part of the league. I think it's been tremendous. I mean,
See, the Vegas experience, going to one of those games is unbelievable. Having been to every team's arena, covered games in every arena, and even some of the older arenas that are no longer part of the NHL, Vegas's game experience is right at the top. It's as good as Chicago, if not better. It's as good as Montreal, if not better. It's better. Winnipeg is absolutely tremendous, but Seattle takes it to a new level. They've done such a fabulous job, and the bar has been set high for the Seattle Kraken, but I really like the start that the Kraken are off to. Regardless, like you said, they don't have a roster. They don't have a coach. They have a GM. They've got their staff getting put into place. We're hearing more and more announcements, but Seattle seems to be on the right path, and that's cool and a nice little find. Great nugget to end the show today with, finding out that Merriam-Webster has the Kraken in at number 5 on the most searched words. So release them already. Damn it, Sarah. Let's release that damn Kraken.
I am super into that. Just let them be free. Let them loose. Let them take all of our weird players who we don't need on our teams anymore. And let's see what happens. Yeah, I'm really excited. They've made a lot of really good hires for their front office and their entertainment staff. I think the guy they hired for their kind of head of game entertainment stuff used to work for Vegas, and so. You know, if he brings any of the attitude and the spunk that the Vegas Golden Knights had to Seattle, I think it's going to be something really special and fun up there too. And that's an area that has long been rumored to be in pursuit of a hockey team, and now they've got it. So, I'm really excited for that Kraken to be officially released, so we can all see if they're going to be our new mortal enemies like Vegas for many teams in the league, or if they're just going to be like a chill friend in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh boy, I really hope that it's everyone's mortal enemy, just for our entertainment value and purposes, and our shows like yours and mine and this podcast in particular will just have more juice flowing and more to chew on and all of that good stuff. And if the Oilers and the Kraken are, you know, at each other's throats trying to kill each other on the ice, I love it. Those make for the best shows.
Absolutely love a great rivalry. So we've got that to look forward to. That about wraps it up for today, as we have covered the gamut of fun things, not so fun things, questionable things, all that today. I can be found on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Make sure you're giving everyone a follow to never miss an episode. If you follow Locked On NHL Pods, you also get some information in your feeds, let's say, about some of the cool stuff going on around the whole Locked On NHL podcast network. Tom, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Tom Gasol on Twitter, and you can see me and hear from me on TSN, TSN 1260, and all that lovely stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for another great chat here on Locked On NHL Wednesday edition. For everyone out there listening at home or in your car or, you know, wherever you are, make sure you subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends all about the show, because eventually we will have real live hockey to talk about again, which is going to be super exciting. So make sure everyone you know is tuning in to this exact podcast. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.